Isn't that good? God is an awesome God. Yeah, the other day I was reading where it was a devotional, and it was talking about, what Jesus said. His mom was and his brothers were coming to see him, and Jesus says, "Who is my mother, brother, sister? Those who do the will of my Father." And that's when I realized that, whenever you meet a Christian, another believer that has Jesus in them, it's like meeting somebody that you have that connection because it's Jesus in you and Jesus in them. And I just think that's cool. So today, my message is God is always working. I also have called it, has a subtitle, God's Inconveniences. Because, so last week I was talking, with Miss Denise over there, because, if you don't know, she had a tile that was, damaged, I think, and so they took it up. So Miss Shirley took a van up to Lonnie's after church one Sunday, and the guy changing the tile noticed her tie rod was going bad, and so she had to get her tie rod fixed. And so last week we were kind of talking. Me and Miss Denise was like, that seems like an inconvenience, like something that you have to put up with. Well, now I got to go get a new tile, get my tire fixed. Yet because of that, God was taking care of her. God was protecting her because it showed her that, oh, now I need to get my tire fixed. So if it hadn't been for that tile, who knows what would have happened. So it's like God is always working even in those things that seems like inconveniences us. So if you were to turn with me to Psalms chapter 145. So it's important, when you are going through those hard times, to just remember that God is always there and He's always working for us, and it's always important to give Him praise. This is a really good chapter about that. So I'm just going to start from verse 1. Psalms 145, verse 1. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. And that's what I work on, every day blessing God. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. And I was, not only should we, we declare his greatness to others, but remind yourself, declare God's greatness to yourself. When you're going through something, just remind yourself of what God's brought you through in the past, and that always will encourage you. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. That means that even the bad people, the evil people, so to speak, he's good to all. He's always good. The saying, God is good all the time God is good. I mean, that's true. There's never not a time when God is not good. And his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. So there again, this kind of points out that it don't mean we ain't going to go through difficulties. It just means that when we are, God's going to hold us up. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. And there again, so there's this waiting, this faith, when you're waiting on God, when you there's a need you have or a trial you're going through, sometimes you just gotta wait, and in due season God will give you what you need. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. It doesn't say maybe save them. He will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. I just love that chapter, man. It's like, no matter what you're going through, just give thanks, give praise to God. You know, because then, you know, you go through those good times and it's easy to give thanks and praise. And if you are going through the good times, make sure you do that, because then when you go through the difficult times, it's just easier to do that too. Okay, you can go with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 verse 1 through 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, when you're a Christian, you have that faith, you're a believer. Even when you're going through those hard times, you know that there's peace because, you know, Jesus is with you, even if it doesn't seem like it. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace when we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So there in verse 3, you know, it says, tribulation worketh patience. And it's like, I can testify that, I'm sure you can, whenever you've gone through that trial and you just got to be patient. And when you come through that trial, you know, it brings about that experience that you've gone through, and then it brings about that hope. And then it's like when you go through something again, well, I went through this one, so God's just building me, you know, your faith is growing. All right, you can go with me to 1 Timothy 6:17. But it just, you know, sometimes you always got to remind yourself that no matter what, God is always working. I mean, he's always for us. Even when things don't look like that, you know, they're going the right way. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. Says, charge them, and this is, of course, Paul, he wrote to Timothy, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So this, you know, he talks about you got to be rich in good works, ready to distribute and willing to communicate, laying up in store for yourself a good foundation. So, I mean, even through the hard times, but especially in those good times, when you're doing stuff for other people, you're like building up a spiritual treasure so that when you're going through those hard times, there's a treasure, a spiritual treasure that God is distributing to you. So that's also a good way to do it when you are going through a trial, kind of to get your focus off the trial that you're going through, is you go out and do for others, you know. And it just seems like it takes care of itself. And then you can just write this down. This is my last one. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So also, speaking of tiles, the other day, Esther had a flat tile. And so I had to change it. And, you know, I could have complained about it, but it was February and it was good weather. And I was like, well, thank you, Jesus. At least I got good weather changing the tile, you know. So it's like, no matter what it is, again, that you're going through, you can always give him thanks for something, you know. You don't have to give him thanks that you're going through it, but you can thank God's going to get me through this. Also, you know, I don't want to miss... I think I got this right, but you know the story of Corrie Ten Boom, you know, it's pretty famous. Well, she's, you know, her and Betsy's in the concentration camp, and it was about thanks, and Corrie was Betsy was talking to Corey about, you know, giving thanks for the, because they had fleas real bad. And Betsy or Corey was like, you know, I can give God thanks because we're together. You know, they were sisters and other families were torn apart. And I think she said something about she can give him thanks for something else, but she was telling him, Betsy, I can't, I'm not going to give God thanks for these fleas. But I don't know if it's Betsy that pointed out or God later, but she realized that she could give thanks for the fleas because the fleas kept the prisoner guards away from them, away from the barracks. And because of that, they were able to have Bible studies and fellowship, you know. So it's like, could you imagine constantly probably being bit by fleas? I mean, that would seem like torture probably, you know, and you'd be like, why would you give thanks to God for that? Yet because of that, God allowed them to be by themselves, you know, away from the guards to, you know, basically study the word of God, to fellowship to other prisoners in there. So it's like, no matter what it is you're going through, there's always a reason to give thanks to God. He's always working, even when it doesn't look like it. So, and of course, you know, a lot of times, sometimes we just make bad mistakes and things happen to us because of our own, you know, bad decisions. But a lot of times things happen to us, well, sometimes there's a reason, you know, sometimes God's protecting us from something or there's something later down the road, you know. So that's what I encourage you today is that especially if you're going through a trial today, just focus on that and just give him thanks in that, you know. I'm sure there's one thing you can find to give him thanks in. So that is all that I have for you.
Amen. Praise God. That was good. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I'm going to continue on this series, Conquering Demonic Spirits. And this is called Bound or Loosed. We're going to teach on authority, but this week I'm going to start with binding and loosing, and in particular, you as a person, you yourself, okay? So go ahead and turn to Matthew 16, because that's our main chapter we're reading from. And I'm just going to read verses 18 and 19 of chapter 16. It says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So remember that it's Jesus that gives us these keys. So we had talked about the supremacy of Jesus, so that he is all powerful. And knowing who Jesus is, having the revelation of Jesus Christ, and then receiving and believing that you're standing with him in all authority. Amen? So bind means to tie, hold, or keep down, keep in captivity or control, tighten in place, hinder. And then loose means to let go, untie, set free, open up, forgive, release. So binding and loosing holds a lot of things. Amen? Sometimes people think that loosing is a bad thing and binding is a good thing, and binding is a good thing and loosing is a bad thing. But just like any word, every context is different. Amen. So you need to just, when people talk about binding and loosing, find out what we're binding and loosing. Amen. And so I have a lot to read, so just bear with me. I have a lot of scripture today. So there may be blessings that have been hindered from you or bound from you because of negative words spoken over you or even by you, generational family curses, wrong thinking sown by doubt and unbelief. When you are bound to these things, wrong relationships, wrong thinking, harmful addictions, evil influences, they can actually block or hinder your freedom, your blessings, to the point that you will find yourself believing that living bound is normal, right? You can't even see yourself free because the bondage has become your way of life. This past few weeks, Andrew Womack's been teaching on the power of imagination. And he has this book, and it says, Seeing is Believing. And, you know, as a Christian, you almost think, well, I need to see by faith, which means I can't really see it. You know, it's not really there, so I'm seeing it by faith. But you have to see it in your imagination. God created imagination so that we would see things that are not, so they would be as though they are. So if you can't believe and see in your heart that you are healed, then you can't grasp that healing. If you can't see that you are blessed, if you can't see that you are prosperous, if you can't see a relationship healed, then you can't believe for it. So you have to see these things. You have to imagine these things, as hard as it may be. You have to imagine in your mind, see what God has done for you, and bring it to light. Bring it, use your faith. Amen. To bring these things to pass. Amen? All right. So both thoughts and words can bind you or hold you captive to curses. To be set free from these lies, you must believe the truth. Jesus is the truth. Believe in him. Believe what he says to you, and you will be set free. Amen? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Many of you are familiar with this. I'm going to start at verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. And these are reasonings that make yourself think against God. These are bad thoughts. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. So you don't want bad thoughts. You have to believe that you see good things for yourself. Believe that you see what God wants for your life. Amen. Not what the devil wants for your life. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The devil will put thoughts in your head. If you yield yourself to those thoughts instead of to what the word says, instead of what God promises you, then you will become bound to those thoughts. You'll become bound to those lies that the enemy tells you. And then you start seeing what the devil tells you. You start imagining bad things happening to you. You start imagining things getting worse and worse instead of things getting better and better. Amen? So you got to cast down those thoughts. Whenever a bad thought comes, you say, no, that is not going to happen in Jesus' name. I command that thought to come under the subjection of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, it will come. It'll come at places where you think you're doing good. And then suddenly a bad thought will come. You take authority over. Amen? God gave you those keys of authority. So turn to Philippians chapter 4. This is what we need to be thinking on. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Through Christ Jesus. You have to remember that. It's not that peace of God. It's his peace that is so perfect. It passes all understanding, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're thinking, what's coming against you. And then verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. That's what God wants us to think on. So when bad thoughts come, when the lies of the enemy come to your mind, take those lies and push them out by the virtuous grace and mercy, the thoughts of Jesus Christ. Whatever his word says is for you. Amen. You're a child of God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right. So you can just write this down. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So you have to take authority and bind these evil thoughts and loose good thoughts so you're not in that yoke of bondage. Amen? If you choose right thinking, you actually open doors of blessing to your life. And I'm going to read this same verse in the Amplified because I like how it puts it. Galatians 5:1, "It was for this freedom that Christ set us free." He wants us free, completely liberating us. "Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery which you once removed." You know, it's like Jesus has set us free once and for all. He set us free. He died for our sins. And when we have to come to the cross and believe that he is the liberator of everything that's in us. You know, like often you'll hear Christians say, "Well, you need to be saved, but you need to be delivered," right? And so what they're meaning is you received Jesus. Now you need to let him deliver you from darkness that has been encapsulating your soul. Amen? So when you get saved, your spirit becomes a new man, right? But your soul and your body do not. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, your thinking. It's how you behave. Your body reacts to whatever you think. So you have to let your spirit man, which you have the mind of Christ in your spirit man, take over your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions so those thoughts don't take control of you. Amen? All right, so let's turn to Acts 15, and I'm going to read this in the Amplified. This is kind of a long illustration, but it's really important. I think sometimes people look at the times of the disciples and they forget how much they did and what happened to them. And so this is where it's kind of funny, because if you put it in the context of nowadays, you know, how often the church disagrees with each other, you know. I mean, this is just a huge disagreement, you know, and then finally God speaks and it's done, right? So Acts 15, verse 1 in the Amplified. "Some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brothers, 'Unless you are circumcised in accordance with the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.' Paul and Barnabas disagreed greatly and debated with them, so it was determined that Paul and Barnabas and some of the others from their group would go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders and confer with them concerning this issue. So after being supplied and sent on their way by the church, they went through both Phoenicia and Samaria, telling in detail the conversion of the Gentiles. And they brought great joy to all the believers." Excuse me. "When they arrived in Jerusalem, they were received warmly by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported to them all the things that God had established through them. But some from the sect of the Pharisees, who had believed in Jesus as the Messiah, stood up and said, 'It is necessary to circumcise the Gentile converts and to direct them to observe the law of Moses.'" And I want to pause right here. So the Pharisees, they believed in Jesus, but in habit of following the same exact religious procedure every day of their lives, had a hard time believing that Jesus could set free someone who wasn't exactly like they were. And quite often, you'll see that in the church. You know, you see somebody that gets delivered from something, and then someone who gets delivered from something else. And both of them will compare themselves amongst each other. "Well, your sin was worse than mine, so you need to be more like me." Or, you didn't live for the Lord your whole life, so what do you know about the word? You know? But the thing is, Paul, in this whole thing, is the most able-bodied minister to minister to them because he used to be a Pharisee. So he had arguments to be able to tell them, you know? So he's like, no, it doesn't have to be this way. You have to be set free by the blood of Jesus. That's the only sacrifice that ever needed to be made. But they're like, well, we need that law of Moses. And he's like, no, you don't. All right, and then verse 6, it says, the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. After a long debate, Peter got up and said to them, brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the message of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows and understands the heart, testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he also did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith in Jesus. Now then, why are you testing God by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we have been able to endure? And it says, in King James, I believe it says, to bear. And so that's where I just think this is so important, is we cannot deliver people on our own. We cannot say, well, if you change and you do this way, then you must be saved. You can't determine a person's salvation based on what you see. You determine that person's salvation by their fruit. Amen? Don't look at so many things that you think that person is bound and you can't see them who they are in Christ. If you see something that doesn't line up with the word of God, what is your responsibility? If you're discipling them, you talk to them and you say, hey, I don't think this lines up with the word. Let's pray about it. It is not your responsibility to judge them and say, you know, I don't think you're saved because you're doing this and this and this and you're not saved. Being saved is the first part. Being delivered comes as you go along. If you put so many rules and laws and regulations on people, then what you're doing is you're putting your own yoke of bondage on someone. You're saying, well, you can't really be saved because you can't do this and this and this. But that's not what God's word says. And it's just like the Pharisees, they saw these Gentiles and their whole lives they believed that unless you were circumcised, unless you followed the law of Moses, you know, you aren't really a child of God. And so they believe that. And so when they received Jesus, it was like even they themselves needed to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. Even they themselves needed to be delivered from that yoke of bondage. Amen? So again, look at your own life. What are you bound to before you tell someone else you're bound to something? Amen? All right, so Luke 6:45 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you are bound by wrong thinking, you then become bound by wrong speaking. Amen? In other words, if you are already thinking evil thoughts and choose to not take them captive under the subjection of Jesus Christ, then your heart will begin to speak what you are now thinking, what you are believing. Jesus said in Matthew 12:37 that by your words you will be justified and by your words you will be condemned. Your words can bind and loose good or evil in your life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, right? Death and life. What you think and believe in your heart, you will speak. If you have spoken evil over yourself or other people, repent. It will take a while to change the way you think and speak, but you will experience so many blessings from whatever God has for you that has been held back by choosing to change. Amen? When I was telling Miss Shirley the story the other day, I think it's been quite a while. Several years ago, And I've shared this story too, where I was sick and I had a cold, and it was like I was sick over and over and over again, you know, and it was like, as soon as I get over it, oh my gosh, I would get sick again. And it was just like weeks of this. And then one day, Miss Penny was listening to Kenneth Copeland, and she was like, you need to hear this message. And so I turned this message on, and he's talking about speaking over your life, and he's praying for people healing. And he says, you know, whatever sickness is in your life, it says in God's word that all things must bow their knee to the name of Jesus. So he said, whatever it is you're going through, tell it like it is. You say cold or flu or whatever it was, I can't remember the time, bow your knee to the name of Jesus. And so I was like, okay, I believe that. And so I did that. And then the next day it was gone. And then I was fine for a long time. Like it was completely gone. So then I was like, wow, there is like a lot of power in believing what you're speaking, you know, like believing it and speaking it out. And so then I got into Charles Capps, and he talks about God's creative words have power. And so it took me a good year. Everything that I was used to saying before, I had to break the habit of, right? So like when it would get cold outside and the weather would change, you know, sometimes I'd be like, oh, you know, a lot of people get colds around this time of year. And so I had to stop saying that. But it was like little things like that, you know, things like, oh, that just kills me. You know, it's like, no, I don't want to say that anymore because there's power in what I'm saying, you know, or, oh, I hate the way that it happens, or I hate the way that person is, or, you know, things like that. Like I'm actually causing hatred to be birthed in my heart for someone. And it's like, wow, I need to change what I'm speaking, because actually what's happening is it's in my thoughts. And so I'm just speaking what I believe. And so I had to change the way that I believed what God's word said and then speak the truth. And it took me a good year to break the habit of speaking wrong and thinking wrong. And what I had to do, it says in the word that you have to renew your mind with the word. So that's what I did. Whenever I felt like something wasn't right, I would go to the word, and then I would find out, this is the truth. This is what God's word says. And so I would speak that. And when somebody would give me a bad report, I would say, you know, let's not listen to this bad report. And I like how Andrew Womack puts this. He said, you know what? These are facts of life. So when you're going through a sickness, you're not going to be like, you know, you go to someone and they're like, how are you doing? And you look miserable and you're like, I'm fine. I'm healed. You know, and they're like, okay, you sure look healed. And so you don't go after it like that. You know, what you say is, you know, I'm not feeling the best, but I know that I am healed by Jesus' stripes. I know that God is working in me right now, and I believe I receive his healing. I am healed. Amen. So you have to, like, you know, don't put this on other people like it's a religious thing. Put it on like it's faith. You know, we believe and we trust in God that when we're going through the hardest things, that he is there with us. Amen. And it's not just in our sickness and in our pain and in our hurt, but it's in every area of our life. When we're hurting financially, when we're having a really hard time making a decision, you know, sometimes, have you ever had like you need to make a decision and it feels like it plagues you night and day? Like you're like, you can't stop thinking about this thing. Like, do I do this or do I do that? And you're just constantly thinking about this thing. And so it's like it takes you over. But God, he has the peace that passes all understanding. And so when you're going through something like that, you say, you know what? I'm not going to give in to that. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to cast all my cares upon him because he cares for me. Actually, let's go ahead and read that. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. And I'll start at verse 25. Thank you, Lord. It says, Matthew 11:25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So instead of being bound to worry, instead of being bound to things that are holding you back in life, why don't you be bound to Jesus, who will carry that weight for you? Amen. Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He truly does care about everything that you're going through in life. Amen. He knows. Jesus knows what it was like to be on this earth. He knows how hard it is to work every day. He knows what it is like to maintain relationships. He knows what it's like to be a master, because he was the master. He is the master. He knew what it was like to deal with people. You know, one thing about the Chosen series, I don't know if anybody has watched that, but have you noticed the disciples, man, they're just like us, you know? And they fight amongst each other, and they compare each other amongst each other, and they're just like us. We do that to each other all the time, you know, and it's like, wow. And Jesus dealt with that in a loving manner. When he was firm, when he needed to be firm, he was firm. When he needed to be soft and loving, he was. He knew what every person needed at that stage in their lives. When Peter got proudful and he was like, you know, I'm never going to leave you, Jesus. I'll never deny you. Jesus was like, you will deny me. And he said, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. So when you repent, go back to your brothers and help them get strong in the Lord. And so it's like, God knows what you're going to go through before you go through it. But without him in your life, see, the difference between Peter and Judas was Judas had no hope. He everything that he had, he thought that Jesus was just going to be questioned and then he would come back and it would be fine. And Judas could keep taking the money out of the money purse and everything would be fine. But when Jesus was going to be crucified, Judas lost all hope. He didn't even think he could be redeemed, and he hung himself in a potter's field. This is how, but Peter, even though he denied him and wept bitterly and felt hopeless, he had that word from the Lord that Jesus had prayed for him and Jesus would deliver him. And then he got his heart right, strengthened himself in the Lord, and did what he was supposed to do. Amen? That's what we need to do. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll close out with this. I'm going to start at verse 1. And this chapter is called The Unity of the Spirit. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. So this is Paul talking, and what he's saying when he says the prisoner of the Lord, he's saying that he is in complete surrender relationship to Jesus Christ. He has given everything that he is to the Lord. Amen. He says, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So we as the body of Christ are bound together in unity with his spirit. Just like a human body needs every part to function in peace and harmony, the body of Christ is the same. Amen. We've been loosed from the bonds of wickedness by the grace of Jesus so that we can walk worthy of the calling he has for each of us. Your purpose is found in the body of Christ when you choose to be in unity with his spirit. Amen. If you're having a hard time figuring out what is God calling you to be, then maybe you should ask his Holy Spirit, how unified am I with the body of Christ? How close am I to the Savior? Am I bound to the things of this world, or am I bound to the one who pulled me from darkness to light? Am I part of the body of Christ, or am I part of this world? You have to ask the Lord that. He will determine your heart. Amen. I believe that God put in each one of us a desire to be free. You know, it's just like a bird in a cage. The bird in the cage always wants to be free. But the longer that bird is in the cage, the more he's stuck in that cage, the more he conforms to that cage. And even if you open up the door, if he's in there so long, he may not even know how to, that's freedom to him, right? So the more weighed down we become with sin, sickness, bitterness, pain, depression, the more our hearts actually long to be set free. But if we accept that way of life and we live in that way of life, then we can't even be free from that. Amen. It's like, and this is just an illustration, so let's use our imaginations, okay? It's like being imprisoned in a mansion. At first, you're okay with it. You even walk into it thinking it's no big deal. You see this huge mansion and you're like, oh, I can live a life of comfort. You look at the size of the place and you're like, I'll never feel like a prisoner out there. I can shut out everything else and just be alone. So you step inside, it feels comfortable, so you decide it must be okay to be there. And what this is it's a place where you shut off everything that God wants you to have in life, and you think that you can handle it on your own. That's your own mansion on this earth. But after a while, the walls feel like they are closing in. The furniture becomes stiff, and you can barely sleep. You become lonely. You see everyone else outside playing and having fun, and they yell at you in the window saying, come outside and play. Let go of that pain. It's time to be free. But you stay in the mansion because you are afraid of what will happen to you when you walk out that door, because on the other side is that person you need to forgive. On the other side is a realization that you need to live differently. On the other side is that person who hurt you. But on the other side, there is something that you long for every day. Complete freedom. So one day in desperation, you cry out, enough. I want to be free. And when you walk out the door of bondage and choose to be loosed from everything that has kept you inside, the overwhelming sense of freedom overtakes every part of your being. Your heart has chosen forgiveness. It has chosen love and grace and mercy. You have chosen to let pain and people go. Amen. No longer are you held behind those doors. Many years later, you walk by that mansion as a thought of the past tries to come up and you realize, wow, that place is just a measly shack. How could I have ever wanted to stay in there? Thank God for setting me free from that lifestyle bondage to bitterness and pain, to hurt and hatred. God is so good. Jesus wants to set us free. And the only way that we can set others free is if we are free. Amen. There is a part in us that desires, that longs, that yearns to be free from everything that is holding us captive, from the pains to the hurts to the offenses to the unforgiveness, everything that is in our hearts that is against the Lord. There is a part in us that longs to be free. And I believe that it's Jesus knocking at the door. And he's just waiting there. And he's like, how come you just come to the door? Just open it up. Just let me inside and you will see how much I can set you free. Amen. It is not just something that you can do on your own. You can try to be free. You can try, well, I'm just going to do positive thinking and I'm going to just, you know, not do any kind of negative thinking. And that whole positivity and negativity is just the world denying reality, because you are going to go through things. It's how you let the Lord handle it for you. Amen. A Christian, a mature Christian who is close to the Lord, realizes that yes, they go through things, but Jesus, when he is with them, when he is with you, he makes even those hard things seem like nothing compared to the wonderful, awesome sense of his presence. And I'll just share one more thing and I'll close out. So on Friday it was my birthday, and I'm not really like, I don't like anything made big deal about my birthday, you know, just like, don't tell anybody. And so I'm good with that. And so we had done chapel at the school, and nobody knew it was my birthday. So, and of course I'm not going to tell them. So we're in chapel at school, and everybody leaves to go to their classrooms. And I stayed in there because I just felt like, we're going to be doing other things in a little bit. I'll just stay in here for now. So I'm in there for about 10 or 15 minutes by myself. And I'm just walking around. I'm just praying and waiting for lunchtime, whenever it's about to be. And as I'm praying, I feel the presence of the Lord come in this place. And I literally, it was like, you know how you have a little kid and you reach down and you give them a hug, you know? And they're short, you know. So you reach down and you give them a hug and you just show them love. I literally felt like God came down and gave me a hug like that. And he was like, happy birthday, my child. And it was just so special. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. When he comes into your life, you don't need anything else. When you are bound to something, his presence is so great that he sets you free from everything. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what you've done or what other people have done to you. It doesn't matter. The presence of the Lord is so good. He yearns for you just like you want to be free. Amen. He longs for that relationship with you. So what decision are you going to make today? Do you want to be free? Do you want to let go of the things of the world that are holding you away from him? If you want it, open up your heart to him today. Open up your heart. Receive him into every part of your being. Amen? All right, you may go ahead and stand, and we'll pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we just thank you that you are right here with us. We thank you for your presence, God. Thank you, Lord. God, every person in here, you know what's going on in our hearts. You know the burdens that we have carried, the worries, the cares, the pain. So God, right now we release them to you. Everything that has bound us and held us in captivity, Jesus, we release it to you right now. We receive you, Jesus, into our lives, our hearts. Holy Spirit, fill us up to overflowing. Come into us and set us free from all of the darkness that has taken us captive. Every evil thought, every lie of the enemy in Jesus' name. We command them to come under the captivity of Jesus Christ. We surrender ourselves to the almighty, all-powerful Jesus Christ, supreme ruler of the universe. We surrender to you, Jesus. Have your way in Jesus' name as we go through our lives this week, our jobs, God, our families. Lord, show us what you want us to do. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. And God, we thank you for every person in this place, whatever sickness, whatever hurt and pain they are going through. We just declare that every person is healed by Jesus' stripes from the top of their heads to the bottom of their feet. In Jesus' name, we command all crooked places to be made straight. In Jesus' name, all blood vessels to be opened up, all blood to flow freely. Everything that is injured to be made whole in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for your healing power. We thank you, Lord, that we live in the house of miracles in Jesus' name. We thank you that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ flows through our veins and we are healed in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.